PKN 500. I just realized it was 500. Gosh darn.
500. Number. Nice round number. Imagine what 1,000 will be like.
To be divisible by twice as many things.
We'll all be 9 years older. Woody will be 60. I'll be 41. Kyle will be 46.
Kyle will be dead.
No, yeah, actually, don't you say that.
Who's most likely not to make it to 1,000?
I mean, you.
Like,
I mean,
just you. Living, right?
You, it's because of the motorcycle thing. It's 100%
the motorcycle. Why would you even ask? Like, come on. It's like, not even the I mean, let's just be honest. He's just a little bit older than us. Like,
yeah, but Woody, it's not going to be a natural causes death in the next 9 years for Woody.
Yeah, that's he asked who's most likely.
Oh, but I'm saying that it's entire, like, if you were tooling around all day, every day on your motorcycle, Kyle, and you had been for like a year, I'd be like, I don't know. I might bet on you if Woody was doing what you do, which is just like every video once in a while taking it out.
A little less
but
collision risk.
Motorcycles are scary. All it takes is one idiot and you're done.
Dude, I made a mistake on my bike like 3 weeks ago. I feel like I rarely make mistakes on a motorcycle. Like, it's not that I never fall or anything, but that's off road and I'm doing something hard at 2 miles an hour. This was an intersection shaped like a Y, right? And I'm going down one of the two legs to join. I looked at the other Y. I think I had a yield sign. I don't know if we both did or what was up. I looked at the other Y and either the car wasn't there. And, you know, when I started looking where I was going, it just showed up, or it was a gray car and it just was invisible to me. Sometimes this like dark gray against it, like it can be the most camouflage of car colors. Moving along, he had to hit his brakes and he honked at me. And I was like, I think that was me. I think I'm the one that just fucked up. And I gave him this wave like, my bad. And that was the end of the story.
I tapped my helmet like stupid me.
Do you really?
Okay, yeah, yeah, that works too.
Yeah.
You use both hands. Actually,
they know I'm really an idiot. Just immediately fall off too because no balance.
Well, because I didn't see him the whole way, and he honked at me. I have to agree. Like, he thought it was my fault, and I didn't know. So I'll just take his word for it. That's all I got to go with.
As a motorcyclist, it's like, as long as you make it home, that's a win, right? All it takes is one 16-year-old on their phone, and you're dead.
Yeah, that is a thing. It's so when I got back into motorcycling, I'm on the internet researching, like I do everything, and suddenly texting is the dominant like conversation that motorcyclists are having. They think everyone in a car is on their phone and they're terrible at it. But truth is, when I see a guy like driving poorly or less aware, the phone is a common factor.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah. Like it's beyond distracting to be looking at your phone while you're driving.
I do it. Yeah. I just think I'm better than everybody else, though. I don't want anyone else to do it. Only me.
Everyone does from time to time. You got to switch to a new YouTube video or whatever you're listening to.
I'm watching movies. You know, I'm catching up on. I'm rewatching Breaking Bad and shit.
That would be so fucking funny. If
I'm watching Shogun, hyper focused on those captions, and I miss the gray car.
Yeah, can't see the damn detail in this scene.
Man, the interstate's bumpy today.
It's loud too. It's really screamy.
The brakes are screaming.
Did you watch
on Shogun, by the
way? Oh, hell yeah. I watched one last night. It came out earlier than midnight. It was out at like 10:30 my time.
Oh, then I'm not current. I didn't know one came out last night.
Yeah, I watched five last night.
So they come out Monday nights. But technically it's Tuesday. It's like Taylor said, I thought it was midnight when they came out, but I usually wait. I'm gonna watch it tonight, like the latest episode. What do you think so far, Woody?
I think it's very good. I know that it's only one season and that like impacts the way that I watch it. I didn't get picked up for a season two. But I like it. I can't put my finger on why I don't think it's amazing. You know, the pacing is almost perfect. You can't pace too fast like they did was it called Rome?
It's like, whoa, what happened? 10 years passed? You already beat the Egyptians? You skipped over the Egyptian war?
Right? Or like they're traveling from here to there and you know that's a tough journey and they just like fast travel that stuff. Like, all right, so that was too fast. But then you can also go too slow, where Game of Thrones, sometimes it'd be like, man, I watched two episodes. I know there's only 10, and I couldn't tell you how the main plot was moved along at all. This was just a miss of an episode. There are no misses in Shogun. Everyone has important plot advancements. So the pacing is great, and I'm hypersensitive to that. I just don't, maybe it's the fact that I'm distracted by the reading a little bit. Maybe I enjoy shows less when I read 90% of the dialogue.
I really don't mind. This fifth episode did have a lot, even for this series, of like just Japanese speaking. But the white guy is starting to figure it out a little bit. So he's like throwing it in. But I guess that's just reading still, because it's still Japanese. Mm-hmm. But I really don't mind that.
I don't mind it. But I would be okay with if at some point they had that moment. If you've ever seen The 13th Warrior, Antonio Banderas has to learn whatever the Viking, Scandinavian or whatever the Viking spoke very quickly.
Right.
But he's like a genius. So he's sitting there at the fire and he's like watching their mouths and he's like, they'll point at a thing and he's like, okay. And then later on, he says a whole sentence. But as he's watching their lips move, it slowly switches from their Scandinavian to like English that he's understanding. Like one word at a time will like, blah, 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 dog. And he's like, yes, dog. Okay. He's like learning as they go. I would be okay if they did a little thing like that, but I'm also not minding the subtitles at all. I did a little quick research. So it is one season. It is 10 episodes and it's the book. So they begin at the beginning of the book and they end at the end of the book.
Oh, I read an article, just a short interruption, that made it sound like it didn't get picked up. But I guess
that will not be the case. This is one of the more popular shows in the world.
Okay.
If the creators, who are a husband and wife, by the way, interesting, that usually goes really well. James Cameron made a lot of great stuff with his wife before they got divorced.
Really?
She was a producer. No, he's the director. They worked hand in hand on The Abyss. They're going through their divorce, and funnily enough, that's sort of what's happening to the characters as well. They're going. He's like that bit the character, and the movie is like that bitch, and the guy goes, probably shouldn't have married her, huh? That's how you find out that like his boss is his wife.
Can we go with cunt in this scene? Is anyone else feeling cunt?
Yeah, I'm feeling cunt. His wife's over there.
Get her out of here.
I'm really enjoying it. I can't wait to watch tonight. The thing about the main white guy is he has that thing that white people often think that Asian people look alike, or that maybe even black people look alike. I have a hard time sometimes with like a certain kind of Mexican. They all look the same to me. But the main white guy in this show looks exactly like the guy from Upgrade. They're not going to know this. If you find the guy from Upgrade, who is just short-haired, bearded, youngish white man with the gruff voice, but he is the look-alike for the guy who plays Bane. All three of those guys that look exactly the fucking same. They're like,
you think he looks like Tom Hardy?
Yes, Tom Hardy looks just like the guy from this show, who looks just like the guy from Upgrade. They all have the same look.
I need help with this name. You can help me a little. Who's
you don't know which one that is
in Boys? Keith Urban, Carl Urban.
Oh, Carl Urban. Yeah,
Carl Urban. Okay. To me, he looks a lot like Carl Urban.
Carl Urban has these flaring nostrils that I think it's why he got cast. I think it's why he got cast to be Aemir or whatever, because Aemir. Which one was he? Aemir.
Aemir.
Aemir, not Mir.
Whatever.
Okay.
I always say Aemir.
I think the Tolkien estate will have something to say about that pronunciation.
Have you seen that joke meme where it's like Tolkien comes back to life, says it's pronounced Jandolf, and immediately dies?
That's funny.
They were all very gay together. Of course, hobbits are all faggots.
Of course, you thought I was using that word because of some British parlance? No! No, I was very forward thinking.
When Gandalf said he wanted to smoke a fag, he was not talking about a cigarette, mind you.
He meant he wanted to eliminate a foe. It's like, my God, he's like three layers down the road.
He was so ahead of his time.
Yeah, I guess that guy does look a little sim. I don't see the guy, whoever was just brought up on the screen. I see that, but it could be the beard and angle. I don't see Tom Hardy.
That guy from the Upgrade. And I swear to you, when you see all three of them like side by side with like medium length beard and they all have the same fucking haircut. Just run a two guard over your head. like they look the same.
Cosmo. To me, when a white guy has a beard and like scraggly hair, they start all looking the same to me. That's a struggle. I struggled with it in Game of Thrones a little bit. There's only one white guy I can think of in Shogun, but of note. Mm-hmm. So I don't struggle in there. But I swear, if they swapped out the lead actor for Taylor, I'd be like, I didn't notice anything.
Everyone else would notice. They'd be like, this guy sucks at acting. Okay, yeah, this is pretty similar. That's the thinnest face I've ever seen on Tom Hardy. I feel like he's usually bloated.
Kyle, don't you notice the guy?
Neither one of these are
the
guy from Shogun, by the way.
Nostrils.
Like, all right, if you pull up Carl Urban, you'll see his flared nostrils and you'll know what I'm talking about. Okay. Like, he's got some.
Would you, Zach, in a minute?
These are neither one of these are the guy in Shogun, though.
Neither one of them is Aimer.
The Shogun dude is a little buffer, I think.
the show guy is quite buff. Yeah, look at those nostrils. Come on,
that's Aimer. Yeah,
come on. You know,
he's got a wider warrior step face.
Who's the Shogun white guy? I want to see him,
none
man.
Of the people you just saw.
I know. That's why I don't have like a good vibe for what his nostrils look like.
Well, Zach will have to figure that out.
Cosmo Jarvis is the name of the Shogun white guy.
Fuck, dude, change your name. What are you
doing?
He's
a pretty good actor for a guy I've never even heard of.
I think he's quite good. Yeah.
He bust on the scene, and acting wise, I don't think he gives up much to the other good actors.
Two baps in one week.
He's 34.
Yeah.
Oh, his nostrils are flaring.
No.
No. Okay.
Come on. What I'm saying is, all three of these motherfuckers look very, very similar to me. I thought that it was the guy, not Tom Hardy, but the guy on the left. I thought the guy on the left was the one in this show until I researched a little. I didn't know his name was Cosmo, but I found out it wasn't that guy. Anywho, good fucking show. Looking forward to watching the new episode.
Yeah.
Tonight. Hoping there's some more swordplay. The last episode, I'm glad Woody's current now. So in the last episode, there's this moment where the white man has given one Japanese clan
a little spoiler tag, Zach, because we're going to talk about it.
Little spoiler here. The white man has given the one band of Japs his fancy Englishman cannons. And up until now, they've only shot Portuguese cannons. And they're like, you can't shoot anything accurately at distance with a cannon. They're all sort of scoffing. But our boy Tom Hardy, Cosmo, has good cannons and he can hit accurately, but lo and behold, here comes the rival like leader's lieutenant and somehow or another is like, well, stay tomorrow and you can watch a demonstration. And they're all trying to figure out what to do because now the bad guy's going to see they've got accurate cannons and they're in this weird spot. And I looked at my girlfriend, I'm like, this kid's going to figure it out. He's not going to be brash and stupid. He's going to be his father's son. He's going to miss tomorrow. During the big demonstration, he's going to miss like wild. And the lieutenant will go back home to his boss and be like, oh, not only do they have the most inaccurate cannons I've ever seen, but they think they're good. That Englishman has hoodwinked them all. We shouldn't kill him. Leave him in their care. He will guide them to folly soon. I was like, that's how it's going. It's going to be that fun little, oh, we're smarter than you. No.
Blows their asses up in a
he
very gory fashion.
Up. He gorily murders them all with chain shot. It was
they
it was
put
really
chain
cool.
shot in the night before, and then the rival bad guys came, and they just never shot them. And I'm like, ooh, we're gonna see that chain shot tomorrow. And sure enough, he turned those bad guys into hamburger meat.
Yeah. And I mean, not a spoiler based on what you've said, Kyle, but the father is not stoked on it when he meets back up with the son. This has already been revealed a couple times, but you can clearly see that father is like yearning for a capable son. Like, oh, I wish you were just better at things. Like, I wish that you had the intuition I have to see these geopolitical strifes and tensions and know how to navigate it. Instead of ham-handedly handling.
And who knows how the kid's really been raised, but it has occurred to me that I don't see the dad doing any coaching. I don't see the son in like a junior position under his wing learning. It's just a disappointed father. Like, I don't know, like a musician who never gave his kid a guitar and is pissed off he can't play.
I think that it's implied, or at least the way I see it is they've all got these, because they're aristocrats, aristocrats, they've all got these like tutors of for everything. Mm. I feel like all day he spends his time like with an archery trainer and then with like the guy teaching him to draw his characters correctly. And then remember how like the little emperor that it was like, I don't want to learn characters today. And he's like, oh, you a great emperor must be a master in all things. Go draw your characters. He's like, yes, I will go draw my characters. Well, so, no, I like that. I can imagine him doing the same thing with his punk kid and his kid being like, nah, for real, though, I don't want to draw them characters. Can we shoot the bows? Can we massacre some enemies?
Yeah. It's like, honestly, son, being good with a bow is such a small part of this. Like, there are so many guys in our squadron.
Have you ever seen me shoot an arrow, son? When is the last time? Where's my bow?
Yeah.
Where
the opportunity. You're going to learn opportunity cost, son. The opportunity cost of you being great with a bow is you being a retard who blows people up in the middle of negotiations because you didn't learn your characters.
Yeah, it's not helpful. A problem.
I got a thing.
Seems very dishonorable, too, which they're, for the most part, they seem to be very, like, I mean, even the honorable, like, feudal sort of, like, legalisms almost to it, the way everything has to be done step by step and you don't want to offend even the person you hate is kind of fun to me. It reminds me of those conversations between Viserys and Littlefinger in Game of Thrones where they're spitting venom, but in a very gentlemanly manner, and threatening each other's lives, but very gentlemanly.
Japanese customs and traditions that need to be honored at all times. So no one is very straightforward. You know, they're just, which by the way, fucking opposite of real life. Like if you know any like old Asian people, they're like, huh, you got fat and you look older. It's like, you're kind of a cunt. Why are you saying these things?
They would say that if there was one fat character in this whole show.
Yeah. I meant like, I guess I'm talking about traditional American Asians. Yeah. That's my vibe with the old Asians.
He did tell his wife, he's like, your butt's been getting a lot bigger. That's the only thing that's changed around here.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
It's part of their culture, fat shaming. And it's a good part of culture. Keeps
there's not a fatty in that show.
They could be fat. They're wearing robes all day.
They all look pretty skinny to me. I haven't seen any fatties. Yeah. There was that one guy who's a little, but he killed himself. So
the rump who must be 65. Mm-hmm. You know, even she is above average for 65.
Yeah, she looks pretty
good. We're calling her out as the fattest person on the whole show.
I mean, hey,
that's true, Kyle. The only guy who was even marginally overweight killed himself.
Yeah.
And secretly, the king was like, all right, aesthetic points for my village. Back up.
Hey, Tumbo's gone. What do we think, guys?
and his pre-fat son.
More rice for everyone. He was totally pre-fat. Did you see those cheeks? Mm-hmm. 8 months old, my ass. He wasn't gonna grow out of it. Like little Buddha is what we call
chubby.
Little Buddha had to go. Little butterball.
Get yourself a skinny baby.
Yeah, so I'm all in on the Shogun show so far. Kind of stinks that it's only 5 more episodes after
they'll do more.
This one
they'll
you guys will watch tonight, but that's also a good thing because it means that it's like they're not going to be frantic in trying to find a good ending. They already have one.
I saw the end of the flying show. What's it called? I cannot remember it. It's on Apple Plus.
Flying show.
There's the one you disliked, Kyle. It was like a war.
Oh, war, Air Masters Force of the Air.
Yeah. Masters of the Air. Tom Hanks and somebody important did it.
Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, Spielberg and Hanks built this Mass of the Air. And you'd think it'd be amazing. I did get to the end of it, and I just couldn't wrap my arms around why I didn't give a flying fuck about these characters. They're being freed from a POW camp, and they're like marching through the blizzard and such. And I'm like, if this is Band of Brothers, this would be so much more impactful. Like when they'd find the Germans and the music and the weight of it and stuff. It's not a fun watch, but it was kind of heavy. I don't know why it's not heavy. They're clearly going for it. I'm like, is it the color grading? Is it the music? Why don't I care? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I really just didn't. I didn't like that main character. I felt he was too pretty for one thing. But I think that's the guy that played Elvis in the Elvis biopic that they did.
I could see that.
I didn't see that.
They introduced another main character who you probably didn't meet. The guy that you're thinking of, spoiler, gets shot down and someone else becomes the best pilot. And it turned out these people were in real life people. So they like at the end, just like Band of Brothers, they showed what they became in real life. And these guys were like wildly impressive. Harvard law professors and stuff like that.
Yeah, there were less competition back then. There's only like five people going for that job, right?
Could be. Could be. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
And no, and all of them were white.
Yeah, well, you can't get a job if you're not a white male. Don't be stupid.
Yeah, you weren't competing with any women or anyone who wasn't a white guy who didn't also know someone here like you do. Yeah. I mean, becoming a Harvard law professor in 1947, I mean, that's like becoming the manager of your local Chick-fil-A. I'm impressed. I bet you get paid well. But
dude, they make good money at
Chick-fil-A.
There's
a Chick-fil-A on every corner.
Chick-fil-A is a weird thing, man. Everyone acts like they're the best franchise because the lines are so long, but you don't own it, bro.
Well, no, it's the food. That you mean like the from an owner's perspective?
From an owner's perspective. Yeah, I can see why you answered the way you did. But yeah, no, people like if you're gonna own a franchise, you want Chick-fil-A. Every time they move in, the lines are long. Yeah. You buy a Chick-fil-A for hundreds of thousands of dollars and then you don't own it. You can't sell it. You build a Chick-fil-A from nothing, you know, from the ground up, and now you've got a reputation. Everyone goes here, people come from miles around. That's not a business you can sell. You just bought a job. It's a pretty good paying job if you're good at it, but it's not like Subway, Wendy's, McDonald's or something where you can sell that business you built to someone else.
They're very particular about who they give franchises to.
Yeah. Give franchises to, even that is misleading. Who they let run a franchise. You know, it's like they're hiring you basically. You're paying them to hire you to run a franchise.
You have to have worked in one for
you're paying for their brand identity. And
I think you have to have, I think you've had to have worked at a Chick-fil-A for a significant amount of time. Like it might be 18 months or something.
25 years.
I mean, it's a significant amount of time.
Can you imagine? You're like 52 and you're like, finally.
I want to see like Warren Buffett flipping burgers. Like, I cracked the system, baby. 18 months. The joke's on them.
I got Taylor to download Helldivers. We went on a couple missions last night, fought the bugs.
It's fun. Went
pretty well. It's a fun game. I got to say, like the stream deck with the stratagems on it adds another layer to it. I wouldn't like it as much without that. Having that that just pad, I reach over and I boop, and it like calls in all my air support for me, which is a big part of the game. It's a big part of the game. That's sort of how you structure your classes and a big part of how you make your team coalesce together to function well is, oh yeah, you bring the cluster bombs and I'll bring the laser. I'll deal with the you deal with the big trash mobs and I'll deal with the big heavy brutes. You know, that sort of teamwork, and I'm really digging it. I like the propaganda and I like the overarching sort of war that's going on because the game's so popular that we're kind of running roughshod over the game master's plans. I think he would be like, yeah, take this sector and you'll get this. And it sort of seemed like they expected that to happen in a week or 10 days, but people all pile on to one planet. So there'll be, it's not as if when I say there's 300,000 people playing on one planet, when you drop down with your three buddies, it's just the three of you doing a mission on your little section of that planet. But there are 300,000 people also doing missions on that planet. So the bar goes fast to like capture that planet. And we've been capturing sector after sector. The insectoids are pushed back. Soon we'll have them back on the farms where they belong. You hear this propaganda in your ship coming out and there's like there's fake news reports. And it's all like this really... I mean, as an American, you recognize a lot of it. we're basically we're conquering.
It has a very fun flavor to it. I like that.
We're colonizing and stealing oil for democracy, and our enemies hate our freedoms and liberties, and so we have to kill them.
You have to get rid of them. Except the enemies and thankfully not empathetic whatsoever because they are enormous, disgusting bugs.
At first, you think that, but then as you go deeper, like. Some of the missions, it'll be like, destroy the pirate broadcast. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll destroy that while I break the bug tunnels. And then I was like, wait a minute, the pirate broadcast? Who's broadcasting what? And instead of just shooting a missile at it from long distance, I walk up to it and start watching. And it's exposing, like, the propaganda. It's like, apparently the automatons, the cyborg people or whatever the fuck that we have this war with, when they just want peace. They keep asking for peace. They just want to
get. Well, then they shouldn't be cyborgs. They should be humans.
That,
humans are looking to dominate, and it's from the looks of the game, it's W after W in the human golem.
It absolutely is. So the cyborgs are apparently, or the automatons, that's what they are. The automatons are the children of the cyborgs, and they're from a planet called Cyberstan. We beat them in the first game, apparently, which is like that top-down game. They beat them, and now they're all slave labor on their home planet of Cyberstan. So that's why the robot people are fighting. They're not trying to invade Earth. They're trying to get to their parents, who are slaves in the mines on Cyberstan to this day.
Wait, so they were originally cyborgs, which is like a human robot conglomeration
combination. Yeah,
and they're just full on robots.
They created children who are just full on robots. However,
those aren't kids; those are just fucking robots.
Well, they're artificial intelligence, and you know they want to save their parents.
Yeah, they're not real though.
What makes you real?
Because I'm a human. I'm a human being.
I think if we keep going down
biological
this road,
reality.
Yeah, I think if we keep talking about this, you're going to come out of this some sort of ist. I don't know, a humanist, a speciesist.
I think humanist, like, what would it be?
Homo sapienist.
Someone who's like homo sapienist. Someone who's like, yeah, rah, rah, shish, boom, bah, humans rule. Mm-hmm. We're born from parents who biologically create us. We weren't made in a fucking Jiffy Lube. Yeah.
I mean,
I was built in a sterile environment, huh? Why is your way better?
It's better. It's better.
Yeah. I don't know
that
it is.
Yeah, but the robots only have whatever their internal algorithm is, right?
No, they've got artificial intelligence. So they're
learning robots.
So they're just
that's one of the
amalgamation of if this, then this prompts.
Well, you say that, but I can't refute it, but I don't think that's the case. That's one of the fun parts of the lore in 40K is humans created this artificial intelligence that eventually earned souls. Essentially, they became beings that were their own thing. And because they essentially did have souls, they could be corrupted by the warp, which is kind of hell. Mm-hmm. And so there was a whole issue there where their creations became real,
beings. You keep saying artificial intelligence is a combination of if this, then that.
Yeah.
Aren't you just a less perfect version of if this, then that? Like when you try to figure something out, you're doing that. You collect data. You say, all right, I've learned this and this, and I can conclude that other thing from the third. But as a human, you're imperfect. And maybe sometimes you're emotional, or maybe sometimes you weight one of those more than it should have.
Sure. But like we're biologically real.
Where's your superiority coming from?
What does that mean?
We're biologically real. We have,
but if you look at how our hardware works, it's not that different from how a machine's hardware works. It's just electrical signals bouncing from like neurons, right, back and forth. It seems a lot like electrical signals running through wires and capacitors.
But we're not AI. Like we're not. Someone didn't just plug in to us and go, "Oh, if this, then this." All right, now you're going to be good at like making a joke about fucking Irish car bombs, you know, make a joke in the style of this and that.
We don't start like that, but neither do they. That's what learning is, right? Like we learn those things as we go. I just think that right now, clearly there's a huge gap between like the Bixby on my phone and you.
Yeah, well, Bixby is the worst of the worst. They should get rid of Bixby.
Kill yourself. I cannot complete that. Not surprised.
Despite my desperate desire to, I cannot.
Why is Bixby bad? Who owns Bixby and why does it
I got Bixby.
Yeah, it's on Samsung, Android. Right? Android. Yeah.
Maybe it's Android.
Is it like Android Siri?
Yeah, it's like Cortana or Siri. It's just their version of it. And the only time I ever opened it on my old Samsung was like miss swipes. I'm like, get out of here with your nonsense, Bixby.
Everyone says Siri sucks. The trick to using it well is to lower your expectations.
All right. I saw some Siri shit last night that had me cracking up. So this girl gets arrested because she's a stupid cunt and she's in the back of the police car and there's cameras on you back there recording audio and her cell phone's in the front of the police cruiser. You know, you got that gate between you. She's handcuffed. She goes, "Hey, Siri. Call Leon." And it like calls Leon. He's like, "Leon, I'm in the back of a police car right now. They know everything. Don't say shit about Ray Ray." She goes, "Oh shit, they coming. Hang up. Hang up, Leon. Hang up, they coming." And the cop opens the door and he goes, "Who are you talking to in here?" She goes, "Nobody." And he looks at her phone. Apparently it was off. He goes, All right, then. He puts it back and he leaves again. And it's like this sort of movie cat and mouse moment that you get organically. Of course, she's found out later because I'm watching it on YouTube.
Sure, yeah.
They have a new thing they do, and it's my new favorite genre of police video. So they got tired of when someone's really being physically resistant to being handcuffed or put in a police car, it's hard to deal with them. I see people be like, oh, why does it take three of you? Because it fucking does. Because it fucking does. At least, like, even with a little girl, it'll take three people to like subdue her, get her handcuffed and put into a car. Mm-hmm. So they have this thing now where they wrap you up like a burrito in this
like a straitjacket.
It's not like a straitjacket that you get into. It's more like a big snuggie. Yeah, it's a snuggie that has those crazy, it has buckles on it and straps, and it's all made out of like Kevlar or something. So once you're in it, your ankles are crossed, they're tied together, then you're wrapped up like a burrito from almost head to toe, from like shoulders to toe. You're completely restrained, and it has handles, really good handles to grip on the sides of it, and then they put a fucking helmet on you. Like the helmet that like South Park put on Eric Cartman when he was pretending to be retarded.
Yeah.
That kind of helmet.
This
so you look
awesome.
Crazy.
Yeah, I haven't been swaddled in like 51 years.
Swaddled you the fuck up.
You need to get it. Get a lead and blanket version of it.
This girl is screaming with her big fucking bad blowjob giving teeth. And they just got her wrapped up, and they got the helmet on her. And she's like, I need to go to the hospital. She's like, we already went to the hospital. Now you're going to jail. No!
Let me see it.
This is the video. This is like a 20-minute video. I watched every second laughing my ass off because she starts off so obnoxious that you hate her. Then you despise her because she's telling the cops, like, go away. Go away. She's like snapping her hand in his face, like, not talking to you.
They hate that.
You. And he's like, all I need you to do is get out of this vehicle. She wants you out of her car and you can just walk away and she's going to drive away. Just got to get, not today, not today. And they're like, by the end, she's wrapped up like a burrito with a helmet on at the hospital.
Dude, this chick though weighs like 110 pounds. It would be hard to swaddle like one of us who resisted.
Mm hmm.
I think that they would beat us until we were swaddled real good. Yeah.
Yeah, they'd have to hurt. Like maybe with enough pain compliance, we'd be good.
The tasers and stuff. I think they handcuff you first, maybe. Like once they get you there, they only go to the swaddling when handcuffing isn't doing the trick. And also when hog tying doesn't do the trick. I saw they hog tied this chick yesterday.
Now she's spitting.
She spit. Yeah, they're going to bag her too. She spat on his hand. He's like, shows on the camera. She's like, she spat on me. And so they put the hood on her and then the helmet on that. And they swaddle her again and take her to jail.
Yeah. Right around 1345, what I think is the interesting part starts. And they have the little, I don't know what to call it. It's a blanket with straps on it. So it becomes a tube for her legs. And they have that on the ground, and she's already handcuffed behind her back. And when they lay her on it, you know, she's 80% there.
Yeah.
She does comply a little bit. I feel like if she kicked and went wild, she'd resist that outfit. But, I mean, eventually. They just do something until she saw it was in her best interest to stop resisting.
I've seen that more and more with them swaddling them up in this thing, whatever it's called, and then putting the helmet on them. And it is so funny. It is so
funny. Dude, the helmet is great. Because once she was swaddled in the helmet, I feel like, all right, game is over, girl. What are you going to do? You can't kick. You can't headbutt. You can't punch. You're an inchworm at the most. Yeah, you can't spit because the helmet is a little fake. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just an inchworm, bro. Like, at this point, lay down and
That's when, like, the reporter should be, like, asking the post-game questions to her. Like, what went wrong? What can we do next time to make sure? She's like, you know what? We just didn't have what we needed today out there. We got to work harder.
Strategies
weren't in line. What was she in trouble for? I skipped to the part where she was all wrapped up. She was like sitting in someone's car and they were like, get out of my car. And she's like, no.
Yeah, there were complications, of course, to all that, but that was the principal thing. It was like, you're in her car and she wants you out. This thing's done. You got to go your separate ways. And she's like, I'm not getting out. I don't get out for you.
No, oh, what a pain.
Or then she'd
the
get
ass.
Out. She's like, all right, I'm out. And then she'd sit back down. It's like, whoa, you're getting turned into a burrito.
She's just like, order an Uber, go get yourself a nice lunch. Forget about all this car nonsense, ma'am. No, can't do it. She's got to spit and wear a fucking, you know, 1907 football helmet while she's sitting in a hospital hallway.
I love that shit. I just watched one before we started with the guy got killed. Like those Police Activity videos, at least half the time they're dead. And I can never understand why. Like I don't understand why they don't just look at that mouth. Right. She looks like Taylor, not so swift.
Yeah. Oh. She is pretty toothy. Or that could just be the fact she's having a total breakdown.
She was stupid from the start.
Like, what happened? Do you know what she did, Kyle?
She wouldn't get out of that car.
Well, there was a reason for the police interaction in the first place. Do we know it?
The lady called the police and said she won't get out of my car. That was a big part of it.
Oh, I misunderstood. I thought you said she wouldn't get out of the back of the
car. Do you know if she was just like a random woman? Like, I don't know who this woman is.
No, they had a relationship together. Like they work together or like they're associates of some kind. Yeah, she doesn't have a job. Mm.
Have you followed the Trump court cases lately?
I opened Reddit when I stumbled out of bed today in a stupor, and I saw that he had until like maybe the 25th, which would be 6 days, to start to pay up, or they're going to start seizing his properties in New York.
Yeah, so there's good news and bad news, depending on whether you like Trump or not. Both sides got something recently. If you dislike Trump, there's what Kyle mentioned. He has this big fine that he needs to pay, like put money in an escrow account or get a bond for that money in the escrow account before he appeals. Otherwise, she can start seizing assets. And his attorneys came forward and said, no one will lend him any money. And like, we're in a bind here. What should we do? And the state of New York came forward and said, well, I'm going to start taking your buildings, fire sale, whatever it takes, you're paying this. So we'll see what really happens. I don't know. As a guy who's watched Trump be in the hot water for 6 years now, 8 years now, he never gets burnt. So I'm still watching. Maybe this time's different, but we'll see. On the other hand, if you like Trump, in the classified documents case, the documents case, I should say, in Florida, Eileen Cannon really seems like she's part of Trump's defense team. And she's done two things. One, Trump had this like argument that he was immune from this entirely, that the law is way too vague, even though it's been used like thousands, if not tens of thousands of times. He's like, this law's too vague. It can't be enforced. And the judge is like, you bring up a strong legal argument. You should bring it up later after the jury, so that if I say that it's a good argument, it can't be appealed. That would be double jeopardy. And the liberal world is like, what the fuck? Like, she's part of his defense team. But that's what she did. And then she asked for jury instructions, both of which are hurting the government's case. One jury instruction is, why don't we tell the jury that the president can take anything he wants and just declare it personal property, even like plans to invade Iran, and therefore this is all a done case? Or we can take the classified documents, like plans to invade Iran, that's a literal one, and show them to the jury and let them decide. And the government would like to do this without exposing state secrets. So on one side, this is either a really, really good day for Trump, which is my prediction, or the liberal propaganda that I sometimes watch says that she'll finally be asked to recuse herself as overly biased. But since say it again.
Even if asked, she doesn't have to comply. And if she is indeed doing the thing she said, then like, I don't think she would, right?
Nothing has gone well for the government in this whole documents case. Like, after they
poor government.
Poor government. Yeah, poor government. You can't just take down the poor
everyone
government.
Feels terrible for poor government.
I hear you. But I try to call this down the middle. That's my objective. But I don't know that I always hit it down the middle, but that's my objective. And so, she had these jury. Now it's weird to even have jury instructions. There's no jury. Most of the time, jury instructions are given at the end, right before they deliberate. And sometimes they're given at the beginning as a way to educate the jury on the law right before they do their jobs. Mm-hmm. But what are we both looking to the side?
Me?
Both of you were looking to the side. I was confused. No. But anyway,
we're in the same room. So we're both
for her to give jury instructions at this point is really weird. And for the jury instructions to be so beneficial to Trump almost seems like she's just giving Trump a hookup. And but I try to put myself in the other team shoes and be like, that must have been how they felt during his rape case and his business fraud case, that like the whole system was unfair. So,
yeah,
whatever.
It does seem that way often.
None of it matters to me until the presidential election's over, because then I think I'm worried that they're going to upset this man so much that he's going to do crazy things when he is the president.
It's not impossible, right?
82-year-old President Trump might go off the fucking rails and lock some people up for realsies. He might send the freedom police.
He will be the same guy he was in 2016, where he has a bunch of big talk and a bunch of promises, and then he's just Jared Kushner's little errand boy. And he does what his handlers tell him. This idea that he's going to get in there and like really flip the apple cart is like, I don't believe that at all. I think that'd be awesome to see, but he's going to get in, and then his main position is going to be like, now that I'm in, more money for Israel.
He did say his policy on Israel is they need to finish the job. You can interpret that as you will. I see genocide in it, but
he could make someone his attorney general who will do what he says, and then he could weaponize the FBI and the Justice Department, and he could start locking people up. He could start making laws that they are now guilty of, and he could start locking people up. And people would say, "Well, this doesn't make sense," and he'll say, "It didn't make a lot of sense when I was sitting in court, but we went through the system the right way, and so will they now."
The whole project.
Like, oh, no.
Hope so.
The whole Project 2025 thing is basically, hey, last time I was on top of this thing, there were a lot of people not on Team Trump in the government. So this time around, all those people are going to go, and I will not have any roadblocks or speed bumps slowing me down on what I'm trying to accomplish. So what Taylor said is totally possible, that he's just going to do a lot of talk and not a lot of action. Or this second time around, he'll be much better at accomplishing his goals. And
I hope he
if
is.
You like those,
depending well, on the goal, it depends the on the goal. Are.
Yeah. If the goals might be personal enrichment.
If it's infinite money to Israel and foreign wars, I do not like that. And that's what all of our politicians all agree on.
I don't see a big incentive system for politicians to act on behalf of Americans. That's especially true if they're lame duck presidents.
Very, very true. Like they don't seem to represent us one iota. They represent their donors and figures in media and foreign governments more often than they represent their constituents.
The representing us is either somebody brand new and their morals haven't been eroded away yet, or it's just a half measure so that they can get reelected. Like, well, if I go too overboard on this, people are going to find me out. So
have you
only a couple of them get gold bonds in their pockets or bars. Kyle,
have either of you ever seen The Gentleman with Matthew McConaughey? And there's a ton of actors in it.
Oh, you know I haven't. You know there's no way I've seen The fucking Gentleman.
I linked it over there. I watched it last night. I had known about it for a while. It's a fucking almost 5-year-old movie now somehow. I'd known about it for a while, but it's excellent. I had known that it was a good movie, but I had just not watched it for whatever reason. I've been putting it off. I don't know where I watched it. But probably Hulu or Netflix or something. It's so fucking good. I really like it's a good it reminded me of Snatch a lot. You know, Guy Ritchie also made Snatch Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
I like Snatch.
It's that British underground criminal world. Matthew McConaughey is like the marijuana kingpin of the entire UK. And this other character is wanting to buy his business, but the price is too high. And so he starts doing nefarious shit to drive the price of said business down. And so there's lots of gangster shit and interesting characters and bizarre happenings, and it's funny and fun. It's a good movie. I liked it a lot. Matthew McConaughey was very good. Colin Farrell is hilarious. Colin Farrell has this sort of pikey Scottish accent, and he just beats the shit out of these children in a sandwich shop at one point. And it's hilarious. He squirts like vinegar in some kid's eye. He's like, he's only using bitch slaps as his primary mode of offense.
Well, yeah, they're kids. You got to keep it fair.
They had knives.
Oh, then how old were these kids?
It's like British street punks, you know, they look like 15, 16.
Okay. So like old enough. You good, governor?
Cut you up real nice. That sort of
fella. I got to get my chimney sweep job soon, so let's wrap this up. And then they fucking.
Colin Farrell said something like, you got your mouthwash muddled up with cat piss.
Muddled up.
No, it's a very good movie. Charlie Cox is in it too. I think that's it. Maybe that's not the guy's name. It's the guy from
Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah, that's it.
I knew that from memory. I'm not looking at it.
The guy from the Sons of Anarchy. He was very good. Bunch of people are in it. Every position is sort of crewed by a well-known, respected actor.
There's some info for the viewers. So The Gentleman that Kyle is talking about is a movie, and you can watch it on Max. I only call that out because this year there's a TV show on Netflix called The Gentleman that seems to be related. I'm not sure, but don't get them mixed up like I did.
Perhaps. Yeah, I liked it a lot. It's the best movie I've seen in a minute that was like of that genre. That sort of haven't seen a good gangster movie in a long time, and certainly not a good British gangster in a long time.
I also have not seen a good gangster movie in a very long time. I can't even remember the last really good gangster movie I saw.
Probably, yeah, you can. LA Confidential.
Oh, yeah, LA Confidential. You're right. That was the last one that I saw. And I only saw that because Kyle sent me a physical copy of the movie to my house. And so I was like, I got to watch it now. Got to see this movie.
Yeah, I watched that last night, too.
Damn. You're just marathoning?
No, you know, just watching movies. I watch 2 or 3 movies a day, probably.
Are you always... like, do you, when you're watching a movie, are you sitting there like, I am now watching the movie, and you're like paying attention to it? Or are you kind of like on a laptop or on your phone?
Depends on the movie. If it's like I watch Predator maybe once a month, so I might be on my phone in the middle of Predator because I don't like the first part. It's shot by a different unit. but with something like LA Confidential, maybe I peeked at my phone occasionally, but for the most part, I'm watching. And certainly with The Gentleman, I watched every second of that. If I'm going to leave my phone, I pause it. Or if I'm going to talk to someone, I pause it, like without fail, which makes it really annoying to watch movies with me. Cause you, hey, do you want, what? No. It's paused. Not a big moment. I mean, the character's dying there, giving last breaths, being spoken to his father, but what is it? Yes. I like pistachios.
Do you want pizza or wings from DoorDash?
Yeah. Yeah. No. I usually try to pay 100% attention, but I don't always. Especially, I rewatch stuff a lot. Like, I like my favorite movies. Like I said, Predator, I genuinely watch it maybe once a month. I bought it so that I could because I was renting it a lot. I must have rented Predator for $4 like 8 times or something.
I keep putting myself in this situation. I don't think I should watch movies with Kyle. Not that it comes up all the time, but I just imagine, like, is that the dude who just slept with her from 15 minutes ago, or is that a different person?
It's Tom Hardy.
Yeah, you gotta help. That's Tom Hardy. Fuck yeah. All right. Thanks. Are you snoring? Are you snoring now? You're the worst movie watcher ever, Woody.
I've watched a lot of movies with Woody. He has stayed awake for about 40% of them.
I argue it goes 60-40 the other
way.
That's
almost an F.
In his defense, he's usually just tuckered out, you know, by the middle of the movie. I remember we used to watch a lot of movies, me, you, and Chiz, and maybe somebody else would simul watch movies on Skype or whatever, and we'd be really into it because we'd pick a movie that we were all excited about, maybe the new Avengers or something, whatever it was, and we'd hear, I'd be like, Chiz, is that He's like, yes, it's snoring. He's asleep.
I didn't have like, a CPAP at the time.
I'm like, what?
It's just all you were always tired. Like, well, why tired. Am I so fucking tired all the time?
No, like, what do we do? You're
getting no sleep.
And I was like, what's the right thing to do? Do we
should we mute
ourselves
me?
And leave?
Can't you mute me?
Yeah. I don't know what, because we didn't want to wake you with a chime. So, but we also don't want it, so we don't want to end the call. So we would just hang out and let him rest. It's like when a kid's asleep on your lap.
Shh, let him rest.
When I did Woodycraft, we had this developer in Australia, and he was brilliant, very good at what he did, but he was young and he only worked if I was on the phone with him. So I'm routinely on phone calls from 12 to 6 a.m. And Chiz would be there too. We'd be like hanging out while he worked, just making sure, because I know the second I hang up the phone, he leaves his keyboard.
Yeah.
So anyway, whenever he like didn't answer a question or gave an indicated that he wasn't there, we would get his attention by making kangaroo mating sounds, which what? I thought was fucking hilarious. Yeah. They sound like this when they that's how kangaroos try to like pick each other up.
Okay.
If you got I wouldn't kangaroos. Have got that. Yeah,
and that sounded like you snoring from Kyle's impression.
So we would both do that, and then he'd be like, "I'm fucking listening. I'm working. I'm here. I'm here.
I'm trying to do the Deem programming."
Yeah. But it was fun for us.
That was that young guy, and
he was young. Yeah.
I don't remember what his name was. Maybe he doesn't want it out there, but
Name was online name tag. Was Zero Errors.
Yeah, was it true?
No, that's not true with anybody, but he was good. He was very good. He left us and went to a bigger server, and I think he did what they liked him there too.
I'll tell you what I also did last night. Our sponsor, Pharaoh Distro, wonderful sponsor, sends us piles of drugs. And for some reason, I thought they were all the same potency. So like, for example, these 5,000 milligrams of Delta 8 sour belts. I was like, this is probably the same as like, one of those 1250 milligram Delta 9 gobstopper sticks or whatever that are covered with those sour candies, which I do not care for, the sour candies. I picked them off. I took my kitchen shears and I cut off like 2 inches of that rope last night. And then I picked off all the little sour nerds and I ate it. And I remember thinking while I was eating it, oh, this one tastes different. This is a this is a potent taste. I don't love it because I'm chewing up just the raw gummy. There's no nerds to cover the taste. Mm. And I like chase it down with my disgusting Diet Dr. Pepper. The combination's worse than orange juice. It's bad. And then it kicked in like, 2 hours later. And I was very giggly, having a great time watching the gentleman. But then it kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger until it was like, I was just alone in the room feeling very scared. and I remembered, I was like, okay, I got to turn the fan on. I got to open the window so there's a cold draft. And close my eyes and put it on this cold pillow and listen to this YouTuber tell me about Marvel Comics or I'm going to vomit. And so that's what I did for about 3 hours until I was normal again. They are so fucking potent.
Yeah. That's why I say in the ad reads, take little nibbles.
The nerd rope one.
Yeah.
Dude, I ate like 2 inches of that rope.
That's
a
ton.
But it's so skinny. Once you get the nerds off, it's so skinny. It's so skinny.
Dude, all that stuff is so strong, you got to nibble it.
I take a small one at night. I just find it. I like going to bed a little high, I guess. So the trouble is when something's so potent, it's like, I want 4 millimeters of this. And then you accidentally get 6, like, whatever. Dude, you got a fucking problem on your hands now. Now you're...
You're going to have like that weed hangover where you wake up and you're like, oh, I've been asleep for 9 hours, but I'm so tired. Like, how is this possible? Yeah. Well, I did. You're getting more stuff. I talked to him just before this, actually. I said send carts to you, Kyle. And I said, Woody has a good preference for the low milligram edibles. I said send him the low ones, the ones that are easier to manage. That's my puppy, preference too.
My pup. So what I do with the gummies is sometimes I'll eat one gummy worm and then I'll bite the other one in half and I'll put that half piece down like here next to my keyboard and I don't care if it gets all dried out. I'll eat that later. My fucking puppy ate the half the gummy. The puppy weighs 4 pounds. So that little rascal zooted and like stumbling around. So it's like, oh my God, you have to take him to the emergency vet, get him to like.
Wait, did you?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you gotta check him out.
He was all fucked up. He was like stumbling around. He couldn't walk. I said, take him to the emergency vet, get him taken care of. It wasn't that bad. I thought it was going to be really expensive. It was a couple $100 or something like
that.
What
did they do?
They gave him something that made him vomit, like pumped his little stomach out. I didn't go. I sent him.
Oh.
But he's fine now. He's fucking cute. He's a Pomeranian, a little salt and pepper. He looks like a little hyena. He's over his bitey stage, and he's really cuddly. Like, he sleeps with me, and he just, like, nuzzles up under my chin and, like right here. And just goes,
and like, wants to hear your heartbeat. That's sweet.
Yeah, it's super sweet. I can hear him right now screaming down the hallway for no fucking reason. He's so little he can escape my backyard, so I'm having to like put mesh at the bottom of the fence posts and in the corners and shit like that because he's so tiny.
Do you live there for a few years, or you like maybe just till the lease is up?
I don't know. I don't know. We were talking about that the other day. Without revealing too many personal details, we kind of have like a house for free type situation in another state. But it's like
that's a good situation.
Yeah, I know, right? Can you type it if it's a secret?
What state it's in?
Yeah,
use a code word like Arkansas.
I honestly don't
forgot
know
the state. Oh, that would be very important to me. That's like
I know about that. It's one of those states where it's like, oh, are there any people near us? So it's
that seems like a good state for you and your dog.
Might be Missouri.
Could be Missouri. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm gonna make some sort of decision fairly soon about what to do. Whether I buy a house here, continue to stay at this rental place, or potentially take a literally free house at another place, which is kind of hard to say.
What's wrong with the house? Haunted.
Literally nothing. It's just a move to another part of the country.
Mm.
Damn.
It's pretty tempting. And one option would be to live there. And then when I was young, my father had an extra house and my wife and I stayed there for 9 months. I think when we moved in, we were, don't get too hung up on the exact numbers, but maybe we were like $2,000 in debt. And even though I earned like $50,000 at the time, 9 months later, we had saved like $30,000. Like we saved all the money and we just lived on like pasta and had no rent and very low expenses. Anyway, you could copy that if needed. I don't know, but like you could pile up some money if you had no housing expenses.
Yeah. I also need to see this house because the way it's been described to me, it's a very nice place. Ooh. And it's like, it's kind of hard to say no to.
It's haunted.
Dude, I'm not afraid of ghosts. I would be down. I'd be trying to commune with them. I'd be trying to set up a ghost party. Like I could do my then we start the new channel, Ghost Hunters on YouTube.
What if I got there a real are alien ghost? Sightings around there? I know you don't care for aliens.
All right, well we don't fuck with aliens. That's of any fucking kind. I don't like Mexicans just because they're sometimes called aliens. No, I don't like immigrants. You know,
what, like, do you like
funny accent? I don't.
What if the
with.
Alien gets his citizenship? Would you like him more?
Oh,
I mean, he's still a bug person, but
yeah, he's still a bug person. He's gonna eat little Murphy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, oh!
But he learns the language and he knows our founding fathers. He's a good insectoid.
That would be sick if, like, you moved to the Dakotas to a free mansion. That's sick.
Dude, that is dope.
I'm genuinely afraid of extraterrestrials and the prospect of them being real because there's a non-zero chance that they're real, in my opinion, and that they might want to take me in particular.
Why you?
Well, I talk so much shit about them.
No, they'd take someone. They'd take like the mountain, like someone who was an example where they're like, oh, this is an interesting example of human physiognomy.
Kyle, look at this guy. Hasn't seen your Tinder profile.
Yeah,
I like physiognomy.
They say Kyle. They want that one.
I would be very afraid of that. There's an episode of the X-Files where Riker's getting kidnapped by completely different aliens and like experimented on and shit. And that one scares me.
There's a Riker in the X-Files?
I thought I said Star Trek. Oh, but okay. but Oh, there's plenty of X-Files episodes where people get kidnapped. I was talking about one last night, like, down in my living room. There's windows on either side of where I sit, and it's the blinds were all open, and I was like, I don't like these blinds open. She's like, why not? I was like, it reminds me of that X-Files episode when the guy's in that bedroom with blinds on either side, and all of a sudden that blue alien light starts streaming through all the blinds, and he can't move. He's paralyzed and he's screaming, but nothing comes out because they use some sort of beam on you so you can't scream. But he has this open mouth scream with nothing coming out because he's terrified of the beings who are surrounding him because he knows they're going to use those lasers on his teeth.
Yeah, natural fear. Ah! I'd be scared. I'd be screaming too. Actually, if I knew they're going to use it on my teeth, I'd mouth shut.
They get it open.
Yeah. How? They offer you treats.
They do not offer.
Wait, treatment. What happens if you do allow them to perform your dental care? Do they straighten them out? Do they make them stronger? Young teeth?
No, again? they drill holes in them. They place tracking apparati in your body, sometimes in your skull.
Well, that's not what I'm hoping
that's
for.
That's pretty funny to like fly in a spaceship to another planet and be like, all right, get the air tag. We got to put it in his tooth. Like, no, they'd have something better than that.
That's exactly what we do.
Well, yeah, but we can't fly to another planet. They'd have something.
It's the same difference. We fly to Africa and do that shit to a lion.
You know those Listerine strips?
Yeah, I love those.
They'd have something like that that they just like touch you with, and it would just be like, whoomp. Like now it's like, oh, that's in your skin. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you not want to be tracked?
Have you ever carried someone else's air tag?
No.
Dude.
I've never had one, I don't think.
So I went to a bed and breakfast for that sexcation thing in Charlottesville, whatever, 6 weeks ago. And my phone is like, there's an AirTag following you all over. And I'm like, what? Nah, it's got to be like in the room or something. Like, they wouldn't do that. And then, like, it just gives you constant messages. There's an AirTag nearby that you should know about. If this thing's not your AirTag, then, like, you're being surveilled. And I'm like, fuck, Apple's on top of the shit. I figured it out. It was the keychain for the room. Had an AirTag keychain. But if you just slip an AirTag on somebody's car or pocket or whatever, backpack, they're going to know.
Yeah. Unless you disable that ability somehow.
Oh, I don't know about that. I just know what my experience.
I know Android has a competitor to AirTag. I wonder if it does something similar.
I can't imagine they're different at all other than the app interface.
Because I wanted to get one for the dog's collars because they make specific collars for dogs that AirTags go into.
He's going to know. His phone's going to tell him.
Oh, shit.
You can get your dog chipped.
He's got Wi-Fi only. He's got a white trash phone.
Why don't you get a chip put in your dog?
Some of them are chipped.
Your own little side.
Toby's not chipped.
I think I'll do that next time. That's a mark of the beast.
It's really cheap, apparently, but I'm sensitive to upsells. and so like we're at the vet and she's like, yeah, and you know, in case he gets nauseous, do you authorize us to give him anti-nausea drugs? And I'm like, yes. And like they're like, oh, do you want us to use the cold laser treatment? It helps his healing. And I'm like, yes. And then do you want us to go ahead and give him his heartworm medicine now? It's a 6 month dose. Yes. And could we microchip him? And I'm like, no. No, you
I gotta say no to something.
Yeah.
And she's like, and then she starts selling the microchip, and it's halfway through her selling it, I realize I do want it, but I'm not going back.
You can't say yes four times in a row. You feel like a rube.
But she I'm gonna say no because she wants to sell it so bad that now I'm thinking this is her whole commission, is this microchip. Because she's like, well, you know, he could get away. And I'm like, oh no, I have a very secure yard. She's like, oh, well, maybe when you're not there. She's inventing scenarios now when it could happen. I'm like, actually, I work from home. I've never been 2 hours without this dog. We're always together. I take him with me everywhere I go. Oh, she goes, someone could steal him. I was like, I don't know. We have armed guards. They wouldn't allow something like that.
Have you seen those South African compounds? That's where I live, in one of those. Big barbed wire. Toby's, if they get him, they deserve him.
The other one's on the bodyguard.
I got a bald Haitian guy with a scar on his face that looks over the property. Don't worry. He wouldn't allow anything like that to happen.
No.
I couldn't believe she on and on. I'm just like, no. I will not. I'm gonna have to get a microchip, but I just don't want to go to her because then she'd remember. Because we had an intense conversation about it 3 months ago.
Yeah,
I do that too with upsales. I'm so sensitive to that. Like I remember at GameStop, I'd be like, "All right, I'll take Call of Duty 2 and no upsales, please." Like, "All right, would you like to buy points?" No. Did you want to like join this club? We said no upsales. You're violating the deal. And yeah, just keep going back to that.
I remember having to do that, like renting cars, and like if my manager or like the regional boss wasn't around, like the whole last half, it'd be like, "You got insurance? Yes. Boom. You're in the zone." And like I was so fast. People loved me. My line was blistering speed. And sometimes though, like the regional manager would be like standing at the counter behind you, and I'd like ask, and I would have to like ask twice at least, and because otherwise he'd like take me in the back and molest me, and I would have to like look in people's eyes, and I could see they have no interest. It's 12:04 in the morning, or at this point, it'd be probably 8 p.m. because he was still there, and I hated that. Because they would have that like no upsales please idea, not in those words, and I'd be like, I get it so much. I wish you understood that this guy in his 50s is watching me right now, and he's specifically here because my sales are so bafflingly low and my ticket count. Because they would have records where it'd be like, who wrote the most contracts? Be like, Taylor, boom.
You're not a team player, Taylor.
I'm firing it out, and then like sales numbers just. Eggs across the board. It was like, I'm not making any money on this. Why would I give a shit?
That I've been waiting to ask you this.
Yeah.
Their incentive structure. Like, what did it motivate you to do? Like, if you got money from every insurance policy you sold, if one of those $5 was yours, maybe you'd be more inclined to sell it.
For sure.
Or if they're giving you money for like the most contracts, I think you called them, then I mean, of course, everyone's going to be incentivized to fucking ignore the rental. It's like
the office space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did the incentive structure they had in their business motivate you to do what they wanted you to?
Every place did it differently, but the branches I was at, like they structured it in such a way that like you had to hit a minimum in order to even apply for any sort of bonus. And that minimum was so absurd that it was like, no one's going to hit this. No one really ever did. And so the manager at that location like eventually switched to an incentive that was like, "Hey, Taylor, if you sell 5 of these before noon, you can go home. And then I'm Wall Street, money never sleeps. I'm making so many sales. I'm out. I'm like, show up at 9 a.m. He tells me that.
Greed is good.
And I would sell it so quick and then be back in my car and heading back to my shitty little apartment to be depressed in. And that was that was the only incentive that got me going, because it was like, okay, like tell me I can go home, because the amount you want me to sell in order to even hit the lowest threshold of possible real dollars is so absurd that like we've gone months and nobody's hitting it. Like it's no one.
Baffling to me how many managers or business owners will like structure a company to incentivize this behavior and then structure their words to incentivize some other behavior, like we're all family. Mm-hmm. And they don't get why everyone like doesn't follow the family bullshit.
That's so weird.
Yeah. One of my best showings was I was on a 9-to-9 shift and I got there at 9, obviously. And at like 9:30, the manager was like, clearly getting barked at from his superior, and was like, "All right, first person to do this gets to go home." There's people who have been there since 5, people who've been there since 6, and like so they have a little bit of a lead on me, and I just in an hour and a half crush it, and all my coworkers are pissed because now I'm walking out. It's mid morning. It's 10:28, and I'm leaving. I'm out of there. It was the best. Uh-huh. That was the only thing that got me cooking. It was the promise of not having to get berated by people mad because you lied to them online about having a car.
My experience was the opposite. They were so good at motivating people to sell, and people to sell multiple cars. Like there would be a meeting on Saturdays. We had a playground inside the dealership for kids to go into, obviously. And so that's where we'd have our meetings, because it was soundproof in case deals were going on outside. And we're kind of behind this glass, this clear glass walls, and we're in a playground. Everybody's chilling on playground equipment while CJ gives us the spiel about the day. It's like, "We're going to sell a lot of cars today. We're going to sell a lot of cars. If the whole dealership sells 100 cars, everybody gets this much money." if you sell two cars, you get this much money, just flat cash in your pocket, mm-hmm. like not on your check, not taxed. He has a wad of money. He's like, if you sell three cars today, you're getting $300 cash or something. If you sell three today, it's like $100 on top of everything for each car. And then at the end of it, he starts throwing money. He's just like throwing money at us, like in the air. Like, we're gonna make a lot of money today. Like he throws like several hundred dollars away, like at the beginning of the meeting, just throwing it in the air. Like, grown men, we're all grabbing it. There's money mm-hmm. everywhere.
Yeah.
See, that's but there would, and he would, there would be a big marker board where he was keeping track of everybody's daily and it would just be for the weekend, the 3-day weekend. The daily bonuses and the weekend bonuses, like everybody's names are up there and you're keeping track because he's going to pay you. If you went up there, he's like, all right, it's my third one. He's just peeling off cash for you. It was great. Everybody was super motivated. That's people would come in on their day off to like hit those money. Bonuses.
I have a question. I bought a car, it was like 20 years ago. And later on the board, I could see the ranking of the salesman, who sold the most cars and who sold the fewest. If that was the information you had, which salesman would you want to be yours? The one closing deals or the one not closing deals?
I wouldn't care, I guess. Okay. I guess I wouldn't care. You definitely wouldn't want the guy at the bottom of the list. You might not want the guy at the top, but you definitely don't want the guy at the bottom because he might not even know what he's doing. He might fuck up your paperwork and do it sloppily. The guy who's selling the most does the most paperwork. He's probably the speediest as well, or at least in the top three or four.
Mm-hmm.
I like Zach's idea. Second, like he might be the hungriest, the guy in second.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people were that paperwork's notoriously slow to do. I already had the paperwork done as far as you could do without knowing the person's name in my desk, like all in a pan. And like I had a file put, people be like, Leah, let me go get this form. Let me go get that form. Like, put all the forms that go into selling a car into a manila envelope, make 10 of those and put them in your fucking desk, you losers. I was 19 and I'm watching these 40-year-old men running around. Do you have a tax stamp form? It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Anyway, just print it out.
Just basic organizational skills. But yeah, I don't know how we got onto that. That's probably a wrap. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I'm ready to eat also.
Cool. PKN 500.